Good morning. This is Carol Ventura, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. This is the January 19th, 2023 in-person meeting of the Rhode Island Housing Commissioner. Also available telephonically for access by the public. CJ Rotella, Director of Information Technology for Rhode Island Housing, will provide information on this meeting.
Good morning, this is CJ Rotella. This meeting will be recorded and available for your review on Rhode Island Housing's website within 3 to 5 business days after this meeting. Except for specific Rhode Island Housing staff participating telephonically in the meeting, all callers will be muted during the meeting. To prevent any feedback or background noise, we ask participants to please mute your telephone if you are not speaking. If during the meeting anyone is having technical difficulties with the audio or accessing the call, they should call 401-457-1240. Thank you.
Thank you, CJ. This is Carol Ventura. Corinne Myers, General Counsel for Rhode Island Housing, will provide additional information on this meeting.
Good morning. This is Corinne Myers speaking. All members of the Board of Commissioners are appearing in person this morning in keeping with the Rhode Island Open Meetings Act. Members of the public may access the meeting via teleconference or attend in person according to their preference. If the teleconference portion is interrupted, we will stop the meeting until audio can be restored. Vice Chairman Thorson will preside at this morning's meeting and will generally be voting by voice vote. Meeting participants, please do state your name prior to speaking each and every time. And with that, I will turn it over to the Vice Chairman to call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Corinne. This is Jim Thorson, and I'd like to call this meeting to order. I have 9:33 on my computer, and it's 9:30 on the wall, so you're not late. Carol, would you please call the roll?
Certainly. Commissioner McAllister.
Here.
Commissioner Barry.
Here.
Commissioner Orr.
Here.
Commissioner Thorson.
Here.
Commissioner Designee Cabral.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Carol. And it's Jim Thorson again. I'd like to get right into it by introducing board action number one, which is the approval of the minutes of the Board of Commissioners meeting held on December 15th, 2022. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve. This is Steve.
Do I have a second?
Second. This is Sarah.
Sarah. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passed.
I'll recuse myself because I was not there.
Please note that Maria is recusing herself, and otherwise the motion carries. Karim, are we good?
Yes, we are. Thank you.
Okay. Again, it's Jim Thorson, agenda item number two, and this is the part where I offer up remarks. So my remarks are, many of you may have heard that there are changes afoot. And in fact, we're going to have a new board member soon. Josh Saul will be stepping down in a few days and being replaced by Stefan Pryor. Most of you know Stefan. It's anticipated that he'll be joining as the chair, which means that I will no longer be serving as the interim chair. It's been my distinct pleasure to do so over the last year or so. And I just want to give you a heads up for the record that that's going to occur. I'm not really sure of the timing. Carol and I talked a little bit about it yesterday, whether that will be the February or the March meeting, because there are some details that need to be worked through. So I just want to let everybody know that that's coming. I will still continue in my role as vice chair, ex officio, and so I'm glad about that. In addition, today is budget day. Big day in state government, probably the biggest day of the year for my department. And we're very excited about an opportunity that is unique. And I get to say this here, like what I can't say in a press briefing, which is, to my way of, from my perspective, it's hard for me to remember in my entire adult life when things have been better in Rhode Island than they are right now. How do I say that? Well, unemployment is consistently been persistently low for the last few years. And in my entire life, I can't remember a time when that's been the case in this state. This is a great place to live. It's where I've lived in other places. And I chose to come back here and raise my family here because it's such a great place to live. And so I'm really glad that things are going well. I think the news in this budget, this year's budget, is good news. It's good news for the state. It's good news for housing. It's good news for education and healthcare. And I'm really looking forward to presenting in an hour or so on that to the press. So, and I've been very fortunate to work in housing, and I think there are many good things to come. The challenge with housing is that it has a very long lead time. It's not easy to get houses built, but we're working on it. There's an army of people who are working on it in this state, and if we can pull it together, we're going to do great things and can make this place a great place to live for many years to come. So those are my comments for today, and what I'd like to do is to turn it over to Carol to present her executive director's review, which is going to be a little bit different this month, and I'm excited to see what Carol has to offer. Carol?
First, let me thank you for your service. You have been so helpful to us in supporting everyone in this room, including all the board members, with your leadership over the past months. We could not have done it without you, so thank you.
Thank you.
For everything. Okay, so let's talk about some exciting things. First, I want to address a question that was raised by Commissioner Saul at the last meeting. You may recall he heard a presentation from Jessica Mowry and also from my year-end report on the continuum of care, and there was a discrepancy between a number that was quoted by Jessica and the number in my year-end report. My year-end report correctly indicated that 1,026 individuals received assistance based on the last program year closed out by HUD, which was 2019. So those numbers were accurate. My number also included survivors of domestic violence that are assisted through continuum care programs. Jessica's statistic was a calendar year statistic that started January 1st and ended the day before the board meeting. So her information was also accurate. 921 individuals served within that period of time, 554 households. Her number did not include survivors of domestic violence. That data is not easily pulled from HMIS. It's an annual statistic that we add to. So I wanted to clarify that for the board. There was also a question on closings that occurred in 2022. Based on information provided by Ann, we have 1,747 units involved in closings in 2022. That includes rental and homeownership. Slightly more than 1,500 of those units were affordable. So I think that updates all of the matters that were raised by the secretary at the law. So let me move on to the SFRF programs that we are administering. On page 2, we provide you a table of the programs that are under our program. I just want to note that there are two programs in this chat, the PHA pilot program and the home repair program, that will be under the Department of Housing. They will be administering these two programs. We did assist in designing program guidelines for the PHA pilot, but they will be putting these resources out the door unless something changes now with the transition. So $210 million, which is quite a bit of money to get out the door, and I think that our development group is doing a terrific job processing applications, evaluating applications. You know, we were able to move up the availability of funds thanks to our colleagues at PRO who have oversight. So you'll know that much of the dollars are available now for this particular funding round. We appreciate their willingness to get these resources to us. We have a number of applications that have come through that Ann will discuss later. Okay. Any questions on the programs here?
Funds not available for commitments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah. These are outer year funding allocations. So, I mean, the good news is that we have access to some amount of funding for all of the programs, just not all of the funding. James, anything you wanted to add on that, because you've been working directly with PRO?
One of the things we discussed with PRO, the, you know, everybody's hands were a little bit tied by the way these funds were appropriated going out over several fiscal years. Because of the timelines for obligation and expenditure of these funds, you know, we wanted to stress with PRO that the sooner we get the money, the better, because we have to get all these monies obligated by 24 and out the door by 26. And they worked with us to make the FY24 funds available for this RFP that we just received responses for last week, so that while we won't be able to physically access the funds until July 1st of this year, we can obligate them and award them as part of this RFP, because for the most part, these programs, any of the folks applying for it would not require the actual funds until after July 1st anyhow. So it just makes sense for us to be able to obligate these and get the ball rolling.
Well, James, the question is that that's been posed by our partners in the legislature is that if there is some sort of legislative relief action that needs to be done in order to make funds reallocated, mm-hmm. reappropriated, we need to let them know.
Yes, and we have notified those folks already. I don't know what the legislature is going to do, but it would certainly behoove all parties if all of the funds were moved up to be as accessible as possible as soon as possible. It just makes it much easier. As I won't lift the curtain on Ann's presentation, but as you can see, you'll see in a few minutes, there is certainly demand for the funds now, and we you know, would be able to move very quickly and ensure that we'll be able to meet all the Treasury appointed deadlines for expending these funds.
And we know it's important, certainly to the Senate President and to the Governor, that we get the funds committed. We were able to commit the resources that were available to us.
Mm-hmm.
They're fully committed. So when we are acquiring properties under the site acquisition program, and there's actually a waiting for properties looking for resources in order to acquire.
And because of the nature of that program particularly, where the funds do go out right away, more or less, because we're acquiring the property, you know, we've had to suspend that program until we can get the FY24 funds, so that we can't act on it right now, because as Carol said, we've expended all the funds we have available to us right now, and it's just a function of if we can get more money sooner, we absolutely can get them right out the door.
Okay.
Thank you.
Moving on to page 3, we do have a streamlined application process. We created that one-stop application, and that's been very helpful to developers in order to provide a list of programs that they can tap in order to try to assemble all of the financing they need in one funding round. So the first consolidated funding round, we issued the RFP in March of 2022. We had $60 million available and also tax-exempt financing accompanied by the 4% credits. We received 53 proposals requesting over $200 million, and we were able to award $80 million, which includes LIHTC equity. The second consolidated funding round was issued in November. Now, we received 57 proposals requesting, again, over $200 million, and had around $3.2 million in housing tax credits, and we had requests for over $11 million in housing tax credits. Our goal for this particular funding round is to try to expedite those developments that can move quickly, funding gaps that we can get to the board for approval so that they can get moving on their transactions. And so that's our primary goal. You'll see the 9% deals come to you later in the year. On page 4, we provided a summary of the site acquisition program. As James mentioned, very popular program. And we're certainly building a pipeline of developments across the state. We're suspended until we have access to additional resources. We've provided funding for 25 properties that should create 570 affordable six-market rate units. 15 properties have closed, and 4 are in scheduled to close during this month. We've provided a shot of one of the developments that came in for this financing in Central Falls. The mayor is very excited to do some development in the city, and this is a great project. Who's the developer on this?
Central Falls is working with One Neighborhood Builder.
Okay. Okay, on page 5, we've provided a summary of the affordable housing development program. $15 million in funding committed. We'll likely commit. I can't imagine that we won't be able to commit the balance of funds, production funds, under this funding round. I think all the dollars will go out the door. Currently, we have 13 developments financed, projected to provide 550 units, 485 affordable. We've outlined where they stand in terms of development status or financing status, and we've dispersed slightly more than $2 million. We've profiled West House 2. This will be in addition to an existing affordable housing development. This is being developed by Church Community Housing Corporation, and it's in Middletown, which is terrific community with certainly less than 10%. On slide 6, this slide shows you here the funds being invested by the site acquisition program and also the housing development program. Gloucester, Jamestown, places where we don't often see development of affordable housing. And on page 7, this is some statistics on the current RFP, and I'm going to ask Ann to make a few comments on that.
Thanks, Carol. So as Carol said, we received applications last Thursday, so we're just getting our arms around them now. 57 applications, 55 of them are for production. 2 of them were for the operating subsidy called HPF ELI only. And there were several production projects that also asked for the operating support. 10 9% applications oversubscribed almost 4-1. 13 4% applications, and that is accompanied by about almost $200 million of tax exempt bond requests. So we'll be spending a lot of time talking to Treasury. 2 of the transactions are hybrids, so they ask for both 4% and 9% in order to kind of maximize their resources. We received 3 projects that were for public facilities under the ART program, very interesting projects. 7 home ownership projects in 6 different communities. And most interesting, 17 proposals for middle income dollars. And those are kind of a range. Some of them are straight middle income and market. Some of them are also low income tax credits, middle income, market, and some are sort of 80%. I think, an interesting mix. So we are just getting ready to sort of dive into it. We're preparing synopses so that if folks want to kind of have a snapshot of what came in. I would say generally, by and large, most of these projects really seem to be, you know, pretty good. There's definitely a few that I think are going to struggle on threshold, but I think we'll have more that will pass threshold, and it'll be a very competitive round. So we look forward to bringing them to you as quickly as we can review them.
So, Jim, and I just want to mention that we hear quite a bit about, you know, funds not getting out the door, things not happening. We are certainly getting funds out the door with the funds that we do have, and projects are happening and developments.
That's great. I think that, you know, I noted earlier how things take a little bit longer, but just as with the rental relief program, which turned out to be a big success, thank you, Chris, and your team, This is the same way. I mean, it's hard to get that much money to work on day one,
yeah,
but it takes work to put the money to work. So thank you for putting forth this effort. I'm sure that this is going to be successful.
I agree. And I also think to get the right projects that work, because you can spend a lot of time unwinding things if you don't get them right up front. So I think that's smart. A really quick question. Do we know, like, what's the average size of the development in Rhode Island? So the average 9% deal is, like, 50 units or... Any sense for that? If you don't have it off the top of your head, I'm just curious, like, if we have sort of an average number.
We could do an average, and
mm-hmm.
Right. We can report it back to you when
yeah.
we can yeah. look at it. I mean, 50 sounds about right for us.
I think what's interesting is it has gotten bigger over the last several years. People are seeing some economy of scale. They're starting to add some market rate and middle income units, which is increasing the size. So I think 50 is a good number. We see a couple below and several higher than that. So happy to, we should be able to provide that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's good too, that you're seeing larger. It just definitely, mm-hmm. you think with all the costs in addition to the construction costs, the more economies of scale you can get,
right.
the better. So that's good. Yeah, just be interesting to see if it's not too hard to do.
Thank you for putting this together. Just got the applications, and that's a lot to go through. Give us this overview. It looks very encouraging.
It's the first time Anne's been out of her office in 5 days.
Well, I actually owe staff, a couple of staff members who spent a lot of time this weekend working so we could have this information. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
And we still have to, so let me just say, we still have to call through these applications. So what may look as though would be a transaction with X amount of dollars may certainly change as they dive in and
mm-hmm.
view them more fully.
Oh, certainly.
Any other comments? Carol, thank you very much for that presentation. And that brings us to board action number 4. This is Jim Thorson again. And for board action number 4, we're going to entertain approval of a transfer of physical assets for Clock Tower Apartments in Burrillville. And for that, Ann Berman, our Director of Real Estate Development, will present. Thank you, Ann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this RFA is an administrative action required under our general rules. We are seeking the transfer of the limited partnership interest in Clock Tower Associates, which is a 47-unit LIHTC development in Burrillville. And the current general partner is an affiliate of Nicholas Blackstone River Valley. Clock Tower was actually developed in 2009 using the tax credit exchange program, which was sort of a substitute program developed as part of the the coming out of the 2008 recession to replace the tax credit program, which was basically stalled. So there is actually no low-income housing tax credit partner in this partnership, but there is a state historic investor that is seeking to exit the partnership. So the transferee is going to pay $50,000 for the transferred cost. However, that money was set aside at closing to cover the cost. So essentially, it's a zero-sum acquisition. So we are seeking the transfer of the limited partnership interest in Clock Tower from Schneider Electric USA, who was the historic investor, to Harrisville Village Partners, Inc., which is an affiliate of NeighborWorks Blackstone Valley. And there's no change in the management company. So happy to answer any questions.
This is Kevin Orth. I have a few questions for you. And so was there a credit exchange compliance regulatory agreement in place then?
Yes. And so technically, we're sort of the partner.
Right.
So we've been doing the asset management, and there is an existing tax credit exchange regulatory agreement in place.
So that will remain?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And the condition of the property?
I think it's in very good shape. It was a beautiful facility. It really transformed that neighborhood. It's right next to a library that was built sort of simultaneously along with a river walk. It's really a handsome development. It was an old mill, kind of an unusual looking mill, so it's really good looking, and I think it's in very good condition. NeighborWorks does a good job of maintaining their properties.
Thank you.
So with that, I'd like to, it's Jim Thorson, I'd like to request a motion for approval of board action number 4.
So moved. Kevin Morris.
Do I have a second? Sarah with a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The ayes have it. How do you like that? Okay. Jim Thorson again, introducing board action number 5, which is the approval of pre-qualification of focus group firms. And Chris Hunsinger, our Chief Innovation and Strategy Officer, will present action number 5. Chris?
This is Chris Hunsinger. The request for action is for authorization for Rhode Island Housing to establish a roster of pre-qualified firms to provide focus group recruitment, scheduling, facilitation, and report outwriting. Periodically, we like to ask our clients, customers, and the world at large what they think of us, how we're doing, how we can do better, and what they need. And in the past, we found focus groups are one of the ways that we're able to successfully do that. Rhode Island Housing issued a request for proposal for firms to submit, and that was posted on our website and the DOA website, and we received 5 unique proposals back. The selection committee reviewed them. They all have different, they're all qualified and have some different skill sets that we like, so we'd like to add them all to a roster and be able to choose as we have different projects in front of us. The firms would appear on a roster for 3 years, which could be extended if determined by staff to be in the best interest of the corporation. We would engage with those firms on an as-needed basis or solicit bids for particular projects consistent with our housing policy. And so we ask for approval.
Folks, what we'll do is we'll take the motion and then we'll ask the question. How's that? So requesting a motion for approval of board action number 5, and please state your name.
Thank you. I'll second Steve.
Thank you. Any further questions, comments, concerns? None. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. And Jim Thorson again. There being no further business before the board, I request a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn. This is Steve.
Do I have a second?
I'll second. Kevin Orth.
Thank you, Kevin. Any questions? All those in favor signify aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. And the meeting for the Rhode Island Housing Board of Commissioners is now adjourned. Thank you for participating. And thank you to our guests for